If you're a poverty activist in the downtown East Side, you don't expect the Wall Street Journal to follow up on your press release. But that's exactly what did happen this week. The U.S. newspaper was calling about the second annual Poverty Olympics taking place tomorrow at the Japanese Language School on Alexander Street. Organizers of tomorrow's event want to see action on housing and on poverty. And we're joined this morning by Wendy Peterson. She's with the Carnegie Community Action Project and Raise the Rates. Hello, Wendy.
Hello.
Now, I remember we spoke with you last year just before the first annual Poverty Olympics. Are you featuring some of the same sports?
No, the sports are entirely different this year. This year, we've got the housing hurdles, sweeping poverty aside, skating around poverty, and wrestling for the downtown East Side community. So every year, it looks like we're going to have a different set of sports. People have fun creating them. It's just pure joy. It's like high satire at its finest.
And sweeping poverty aside is curling, is it?
It's curling, and I haven't seen that one yet. It involves curling, and the skating around poverty has a Campbell mask and a Harper mask, and they're wearing some skates, and they're going to be skating around some interesting poverty statistics. And my favorite one is my kids at the Four Sisters Co-op and our neighbors are doing a wrestling for the community. So the little kids will be representing the 11,000 low-income residents of the downtown East Side, and they will be wrestling.
In one corner.
Yes, and they'll be wrestling Mr. Concord Condo. And he's got money poking out of his pockets, and they're going to beat him up. They've got tricks up their sleeves.
Now, the mascots are the same, though, are they not?
Yeah, we have Itchy's, Chewy, and Creepy. This year, Itchy's going to be the MC. So last year, I think it
Itchy's the bed bug,
Itchy's
right?
Itchy's the bed bug. Right. And the costumes have gotten more elaborate. And there's also going to be a cockroach chorus line at the closing ceremonies that people, it's going to be really fabulous that they've been working on it for a long time. It's kind of a blues number with the roachettes. He's the roach. He's the most. Be seers. Pay the most. You know, they've got all their lyrics. It's really funny. We've also got an instead of singing O Canada as the anthem, it's O Poverty, and we've got some creative lyrics to the tune of O Canada. It goes on and on.
And now you also have a torchlight parade. Yes?
We do. We have an upside down plunger as our torch, and it's starting from the Vancouver Area Network of Drug Users office, the parade tomorrow at 12:30. They're going to pass it all the way to the Japanese Hall.
Which is on
Alexander. Uh-huh. And then we've got a torch lighting ceremony. So we have a ginormous torch that says End Poverty that's going to be hidden under a gold lame, you know. And so there's a big torch ceremony that goes with that as we're singing Oh Poverty.
So all this fun and irony and creativity is really to talk about a very grim situation here in the downtown East Side. What has actually changed for poor people here since the last Poverty Olympics last year?
Well, poverty continues to grind people down, poverty and homelessness. Between the years 2002 and 2008, homelessness escalated up to a shocking 373%. So it's not getting better. It is getting worse.
And I guess we know how much the games have cost in terms of, you know, we got some of those figures now.
Yeah, we do. Now we know that security will cost $1 billion, and that $1 billion could replace every crappy hotel room in the neighborhood. There's 5,000 hotel rooms that could be replaced with spanky new, brand new accommodations for people in the downtown East Side just for the cost of security. So we find it offensive. We think if our government spent the same amount of energy ending poverty, the same amount of energy that they're spending on the Olympics to end poverty, they would do it. They would end poverty and homelessness.
We got a ticket now of $6 billion, do we?
We got a ticket of $6 billion. And even to go to the opening ceremonies of the Olympics in Vancouver, the cost of the ticket is $1,181. And a person on welfare gets $610 a month to live on. So it's just the discrepancy just is so disrespectful, and it's misguided. And it's the perfect time to invest in low-income people instead of putting, I think it's misdirected to spend money on the Olympics. And What we really do need is an investment in low-income people, and it's the perfect time to do it. And I mean, partly because of the economic downturn. It's great to low-income people, if they have extra money in their pockets because they're not paying for huge rents and they've got extra money for food, they actually shop locally. They don't go to trips to Hawaii. They don't put money, sock money into stock market investments. They actually spend money in their communities. And over the years, the Downtown East Side has had millions of dollars sucked out of the neighborhood because welfare rates and minimum wage rates aren't keeping up with the cost of living. And people are paying, they're using their food money to pay for rent. So that needs to stop, and we will actually build a local economy. Stores will open again here. So I think it's a logical thing to do. But I think we're up against big development.
Well, now people must say to you that, yes, that $7 billion could have been spent to build more housing. But now it has been spent. Is there really any money to do anything different?
Well, it's the New Deal idea. When economies crash, you do want to build infrastructure. And putting it into low-income people's homes, like building social housing, is a great way to stimulate the economy. It creates construction jobs, and it also gives people that extra money at the end of the month. Also, raising people's welfare rates means they can spend more money. And that's what we need. Not everybody is spending their money on drugs. And that's a myth to bust.
That is another thing that people say about the Downtown East Side, that there is a lot of drug use here, and of course there is a lot of drug use. But what number of people live down here compared to the amount of people who are having addiction issues?
11,000 residents of the neighborhood who are low income, so living below $20,000 a year, and 500, 1,000 in real deep trouble, maybe. So people need to put it in perspective. And the poverty rates in British Columbia, so not even just talking about the Downtown East Side, but let's look at the bigger picture. If we raise welfare rates in the province of British Columbia, we might help the 40% of the Aboriginal kids that are living in poverty now get out of poverty. We might help. BC alone has the highest poverty rate in Canada. So we could make a dent all across British Columbia with raising welfare rates. This isn't just about bailing out the Downtown East Side. It's about everybody in British Columbia, if not Canada, who's living in poverty. So that's the perspective. And I think policymakers, they can conveniently portray the Downtown East Side as a pathological place, as a way to avoid their responsibilities to people everywhere. And we need to fight against that myth all the time because it's wrong. And the people in this neighborhood who are suffering with mental illness and addiction and who are sick need to have some privacy. So that's another issue that we notice, that the media should leave them alone. Because when you're sick, do you want somebody pointing a camera in your face? You need to, we need to deal with some of these issues and help, bust the myths so we can really work on what needs to be worked on.
What about the money that's recently come from the provincial government?
Well, that money bought us, in this neighborhood, 5 hotels. So it secured 5 hotels. We're grateful because we do need to secure the hotels, and now the province has 1/5 of the total stock, but there's still 4,000 people at risk, and they did not fund, and maybe the listeners may not know this, but the city has designated 12 sites for supportive housing around the city, and those 12 sites are ready to go, shovel ready. There's no money for them.
So the city has said they're ready to go, but they need the money from the province.
Or the feds. There was nothing in the budget from the federal government for those 12 sites, and there's nothing in the province. There's no announcement. So, and they are stringing us along. Coleman keeps saying, oh, yeah, we're going to do it. But I think they're waiting for a convenient excuse to get out of it. And those lots have been online for 10 years to be done. So we're upset. And people have to realize that the provincial government has a spin machine. They have staff that work on trying to construct a spin. And we are working against that political spin. But the reality is there's no money. No money for those 12 sites. There's only money for a few Band-Aids, and that's buying a few hotels, which, you know, you can't shake a stick at. We need to secure more and more of those hotel rooms. But what about, and they're breaking their Olympic promises because they promised to build housing, and that 1,200 units was part of the 3,200 that they said they would do, but there's zero money for it. So we're going to make hay before the provincial election, and that's what it's going to be about.
What are the kind of development pressures that the neighborhood is facing? How intense would you describe it as?
Well, it's backed off slightly because of the condo starts are down. So there's two projects that have actually collapsed in the downtown east side recently. Thank goodness, because the pressure was intense, and the city was not willing to manage that change. That's an Olympic pressure. Oh no, we're just going to let it go, right? That's what happens during Olympics and expos. They don't do the things they're supposed to do. So we do have a slight breather right now around the pressures of real estate in this neighborhood, putting up the prices, putting up the rents. But we'll see how long that lasts, because this is a neighborhood that is highly desirable. It's very wealthy in terms of its land.
So it's not just about the Olympics.
Oh, no, no. This is gentrification has been happening in the downtown east side for a long time before the Olympics. And the Olympics and hallmark events like this around the world, what it does is it consolidates the plans of governments and developers to make their realities come true, make their dreams come true. It speeds up the process of redevelopments and revitalizations and whatever they call it. So they also, it gives them opportunity to exaggerate gains. It gives them media opportunities to exaggerate the good things, downplay the bad things, and get their plans for a neighborhood moving along. So that's what the Olympics has done to this neighborhood.
And what is your goal with the Poverty Olympics?
Well, the Poverty Olympics is intended to embarrass our governments into action. So we're shameless about that. That is the goal. We've been researching international emails of editors in all countries all around the world. And if your listeners have any lists that they want to give us of editors, you know, from Japan or news editors from the Northern European countries, we're collecting them. And the idea is to get the word out, because you know what? If this isn't settled by next year, we're doing the third annual. The third annual Poverty Olympics will be happening, and maybe it'll be on NBC live. Because that's the intention, is we're going to draw attention to the problems here. And, you know, by next year, the downtown east side might look different, because they are actively trying to get the people off Hastings Street before then. So it might look different. But we're going to be there to remind people what...
Will you hold it to coincide?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we have to find a provocative spot. I don't know where that's going to be.
Anywhere, I think.
Anywhere, I guess. But, you know, so there's people will be thinking creatively in the next year coming up to the.
Well, let's hope you don't have to do it.
Yeah, let's hope. But it doesn't look good. Yeah, I think it's going to be a continual fight. And the fight's going to have to continue after the Olympics. People need to get educated. And they need to, and we need to help with that. Like, we need to get the word out, and we need everybody to press in, because this is the time. Our governments are becoming more right-wing. They're starting to privatize everything, including social housing lands. They don't want to build social housing because it goes against their market philosophy. And this is a way to wedge in and say, you know what, you're doing the wrong thing. And 30 years ago, we had social programs, and we want them back. So
now, if people can't make it down to the Poverty Olympics, you do have a video.
We do have a video, and we also have a Poverty Olympics website. So it's, I think, povertyolympics.ca. Really simple. You could look it up.
And what's the video?
The video is a parody of the Olympics village, but it's about the Poverty Olympics village. So it's about living in the hotels, and it is funny. I mean, and it was made by three volunteers from the downtown east side. And it's well done, and it's hilarious. It's 2 minutes, and I recommend people watching it.
And
watch it.
How would they find it?
Well, they find it on the CAP blog. I work for the Carnegie Community Action Project, and that stands for CCAP, and it's Vancouver, CCAP Vancouver, at No, .wordpress.com.
Okay.
So you can find it there, and it's right on the homepage, and it's YouTube, so it's pretty easy to watch.
Okay. I've been speaking with Wendy Peterson. She's with the Carnegie Community Action Project and also with Raise the Rates, and that URL, again, is ccapvancouver.wordpress.com.